great, and you need plenty of nourishment.
Elijah got up and ate the food and drank the water. His body felt strong again, and he journeyed for 40 more days and 40 more nights to Horeb, God's mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. When he arrived at Horeb, he walked into a cave and rested for the night.
Thank you, Rose, Becky, Anthony, Rex. Appreciate that very much. Do you ever feel like life is an amusement park, a thrill ride of highs and lows? Here in our Bible passage today, it was as if Elijah was experiencing an unending ride on a roller coaster with dramatic highs and deep lows. This roller coaster ride was something where he was unable to catch his breath. And in 1 Kings 19, Elijah experiences an agonizing, dizzying drop from a spiritual high way up here into a dark valley way down there. After the triumphant climax on the heights of Mount Carmel, he plummets into the dry, unforgiving desert. One Bible scholar captures this jarring shift. This chapter in God's Word is anticlimactic. On the heels of the great victory of Mount Carmel, the reader may be surprised to find that the protagonist of our contest is on the run for his life. In previous chapters, Elijah is a bona fide hero of the faith. Faithful, confident, authoritative. He brings about miracles through prayer. He raises the dead. He calls down fire from heaven. He confronts a powerful king, and he even outruns Ahab's chariot for 17 miles. So we certainly would not expect to find an easily intimidated, suicidal, self-doubting Elijah in chapter 19. Yet here we are. He's down in the dumps, depressed, and broken. Now Elijah's very name means "My God is Yahweh." In other words, "My God is the Lord," weaving the sacred name of the Lord directly into his personal identity. Yet even this giant of the faith succumbs to crushing defeat. Up on Mount Carmel, God sent his holy fire down to consume the sacrifice, despite the fact that it was drenched with no fewer than 12 full jars of water. It was drenched, but God consumed it with his fire. There was no doubt who ruled heaven and earth. Then Elijah slaughtered, he executed 450 false prophets of Baal, which made Jezebel, the queen, raging mad. Furious at the loss of her religious authority, Queen Jezebel put a deadly bounty on Elijah's head, swearing, "May the gods deal with me ever severely if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them." It was as if she was taking a picture of Elijah and putting it on the wall of the post office. And it said, "Wanted, Elijah, dead or alive, preferably dead." She wanted this guy gone. She wanted this guy out of the picture. She wanted to see his end. Terrified by her cold, calculated malice, Elijah panicked and fled. He ran for the south. Now, he ran a long ways because he was way up in northern Israel, and he went down to southern Israel. In fact, there was an expression in Israel said, all the way from Dan to Beersheba. He went all that way from the north side of Israel to the south, and that wasn't good enough. He went a full extra day into the wilderness. Leaving his servant behind, he went a full another day. Trevor Eppenheimer highlights the stark contrast of Elijah's spirit. In chapter 18 of God's Word, Elijah shows no hint of fear or doubt. He is even so bold as to sarcastically mock the prophets of Baal. Do you remember that? When they were trying to get fire to come down, he said, maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's taking a little nap and you need to wake him up. Maybe he's on a vacation out to the East Coast. You got to wait for him to come back from vacation. He was really needling them and mocking them because their God had no power. In chapter 19, though, the Lord's confident prophet comes crashing down. He comes unhinged. Afraid for his life after hearing of Jezebel's desire to eliminate him, Elijah flees to the wilderness and he asks to die rather than face her wrath. Now, humans have a reaction to stress. It's usually fight or flight. So confronted with this stressor, he chose flight, total flight. He ran. He hid. He ran past Beersheba all the way to the southernmost portion of Judah, left his servant behind, and plunged another full, brutal day's journey into the scorching, hot desert. Seeking total isolation, he collapsed under a solitary broom tree, a scrubby brush offering very little shade against the blinding sun. And it was there, totally down in the dumps, that he asked God to take his life. Drained of every ounce of spiritual resilience and physical vitality, he sank into sleep, hoping that he would never wake up again. Rather than seeking a fresh encounter with the living God, Elijah simply longed for an escape from his overwhelming existence. What about you? Can you put yourself in Elijah's shoes or sandals? Have you ever felt so crushed by life's burdens that you simply wished you could just vanish away? We need only glance back a few years to the early part of this decade, 2020 and 2021, to remember a season of massive collective trauma, the global pandemic. The global pandemic, coupled with intense social strife, political hostility, and economic fragility, created a sweeping mental health crisis. Now we move forward and we push it to the back burner of our brains. But life was tough back then, psychologically. Without a doubt, it wasn't easy for us to endure social distancing, self-isolation, and forced quarantines. It took a toll on us emotionally, harmed our mental health as a society. There was a report that was published a while back by the Commonwealth Fund that highlighted that 33%, that's one-third, of Americans suffered severe stress, anxiety, or deep sadness that was difficult to handle alone. It all felt suffocating. Even now, here in August of 2026, we view those painful years through the rearview mirror of history. But still, the temptation to enter flight mode, like Elijah, has not vanished. Life's daily demands, personal griefs, and battles with our health still tempt us to crawl beneath the nearest broom tree. We want God to sweep us away and brush our problems aside. So we isolate ourselves from the ones we love and run until our emotional tanks are completely empty. Now, deep discouragement can strike anybody, even spiritual heavyweights. Mother Teresa spent decades enduring what some label the dark night of the soul. While her public life radiated selfless love as she cradled the dying of Calcutta in her arms, her personal journeys reveal a different story: intense, aching feelings of spiritual isolation. Over time, Mother Teresa realized this internal darkness was not a failure of faith, but a mysterious way of sharing in Christ's suffering on the cross and it enabled her to have radical solidarity with the poor and the suffering and the vulnerable of society. Similarly, one Bible scholar notes that Elijah shows all the classic signs of severe burnout and depression: overwhelming fatigue, distorted thinking, intense isolation, and a desire to die. Yet remarkably, and hear this, remarkably, God does not lecture him. God does not condemn him. When we hit rock bottom, we don't need a harsh sermon. We need God's compassionate care. We need God's encouragement. When we're hurting and heavy laden with problems of life, we echo the raw prayer of the psalmist: O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Notice how tenderly, how gently God responds to Elijah, his broken prophet. Elijah cries out in raw, unfiltered honesty, I've had enough, O Lord. Take my life. If you could turn the page here on the page 3. That's good, right there. God does not scold Elijah for his despair, nor does he rebuke him for running away in fear. God doesn't chew him out, accusing him, where's your faith? No, that's not the way of the Lord. Instead, God takes the loving initiative to restore him step by gradual step. He sends a divine messenger, an angel, with practical, physical grace. The angel softly touched Elijah and gave a simple, tender command: arise and eat. This bread, this drink would give Elijah new life. He wanted to die, but God wanted him to live. Arise and eat. Right beside Elijah's head sits a freshly baked cake of bread, warm over hot coals, and a jug of cool, refreshing water. God does not offer a heavy theological lecture or demand immediate spiritual action. Instead, he gives his weary servant rest, nourishment, and hydration. Imagine how deeply satisfying that water must have tasted on his parched tongue. Imagine how comforting that warm bread must have felt in his empty stomach. Elijah eats, Elijah drinks, and then Elijah sinks right back into healing sleep, getting the rest that he desperately needed. Now, God's patience is unhurried and profound. The angel of the Lord returns a second time, waking Elijah up with another gentle touch, and says, arise and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Remember last week when I told you that sometimes when I read a Bible passage, a verse steps out and jumps off of the page? This is the verse for me. Arise, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. We can't make it on our own. We need God's help. Often the journey of life is too much for us. It's overwhelming, and we can't do it all by ourselves. We need God's help. God lovingly acknowledges Elijah's human limitations. The journey was too much for Elijah's natural strength, but it was not too much for God and his sustaining grace. After listening to the angel, Elijah ate and drank some more. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights. And I don't know about you, but I kind of wonder what was in that bread. Because I do endurance sports like bike riding. And 40 days and 40 nights is a long time to go. That must have been some food, like a power food, or a Cliff Bar, a power bar, or some sort of energy drink. It was God food that sustained the prophet and gave him the energy to go not just for an hour or two on a bicycle, but 40 days and 40 nights through the dry, dusty desert. Wow, that must have been some kind of nourishment. It was amazing, miraculous. God is the one who renews the exhausted prophet. He gives. It's God's strength that he gives to his weary servants. Rejuvenated by that heavenly feast, Elijah trekked for 40 days and 40 nights across the harsh Sinai wilderness all the way to Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And this morning in our Bible study at 9 o'clock, Matt said to us, does this remind you of any other 40 days and 40 nights? And Betsy said, yeah, it reminds me of Noah. 40 days and 40 nights it rained in the flood of Noah. Remember that with the ark and everything? And Matt said, well, what about the New Testament? And then the other Matt said, well, Jesus in the wilderness, he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then at the end, the devil tempted him and said, turn those stones into bread. And God said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. But there are even other 40s in the Bible. There's the 40 years in the wilderness for Israel. Or there was the 40 days and nights that Moses spent in the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai when he went up there to get the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of 40s in the Bible. But what began as a desperate flight now becomes something holy, a pilgrimage of transformation. Upon arriving at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, Elijah sheltered safely within a cave, fully nourished, fully protected, and fully quieted to wait for God to speak, to wait to hear God's voice. Now, Elijah's story offers us and our weary hearts an incredible invitation. As Carrie Mitchell beautifully observes, this text offers us an invitation to experience God's encouragement, God's unexpected encouragement for perseverance in the daily mazes of our lives, whether we face abundance, adversity, or dull routine. When we reach our absolute limit, and I know all of us have been there. I've been there. Rose has been there. You've been there. We've been down to rock bottom. We've been down about as low as what we can go. We need to know that we can look up and see God. We need to know that we can look up and hear God. We need to know that there is encouragement for those of us who are discouraged. God does not condemn us. God does not get frustrated with us, but instead he meets us with divine provision, because we were never meant to carry the burdens of life alone. Jesus said to us, behold, my burden is easy. It's light. I am the one that gives rest for your souls. So come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember Elijah? He just kept sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. God gives you rest, not just for your body, but rest for your souls. God often uses quiet, ordinary means to refresh our spirits. In his insightful book, Leading on Empty, Wayne Cordero points out that simple physical care, like moderate exercise, can even reduce stress and anxiety while lifting our spirits and restoring sleep. He warns in this book, don't let burnout get the best of you. And he gives some helpful tips on how to avoid getting burned out. And one is exercise. In the concluding chapters, he writes, if you are depressed, you may feel constantly exhausted. So putting on your sneakers and going over to the gym could seem like the last thing you want to do, the very least important thing on the list. But it's a fact. Exercise is important to you, both physically and mentally. And I experience this personally when I'm biking around this area, this beautiful area by Lake Ontario and Long Pond and Cranberry Pond, the rhythm of the pedals of my bicycle, breathing the fresh air, and seeing the sparkling sunlight on the open water provide a pathway towards spiritual renewal and retreat. Whether God gives you encouragement through restful sleep, skilled medical professionals, physical activity, or the warm, supportive fellowship of other believers, your family of God, the brothers and sisters in the faith, He promises each one of us to give us enough grace for the very next step. He will never abandon the people He came to save. Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you can leave this place re-equipped, re-motivated, and re-energized. The Spirit calls to mind the words of the risen Christ, who also was standing on a mountaintop. You know, Elijah was going to a mountaintop, Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. That was his destination. But Christ also went to a mountaintop in Galilee where He encountered His disciples and He said to them, "Surely I am with you. Surely I am with you even to the end of the age." He assures each one of His disciples, even me, even you, even us, that He is present with us on a daily basis. He promises to walk beside you through every dry desert and every low valley, for God is near. He feeds us in our empty places. He restores our souls, and He leads us safely to His holy mountain. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we come to You acknowledging the peaks and the valleys of our lives. We confess that like Your servant Elijah, we often stumble from the mountaintops of victory into the desert places of fatigue, discouragement, and fear. When the journey is too much for us, when it becomes too much to bear and our strength fails, forgive us for running into isolation instead of running to You. Thank You for being a God of gentle restoration. Thank You that You do not meet our burnout with condemnation, but with fresh bread, cool water, and grace that meets our human limitations. When we sit under our own broom tree, longing to give up, remind us that You are near. Touch our hearts again by Your Holy Spirit. Refresh our bodies, renew our minds, and revive our weary souls. As we step back into the world, grant us courage to take the next step, anchored in the promise of Jesus that He is with us always, even to the very end of the age. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.